I have been the victim of a massive squirt session, and after it, it's just like, you know, you in that bed, you like on an island, you know what I'm saying? You're in that little corner.
I saw the horror in your eyes, like you were in the 2004 tsunami in Thailand.
Yeah, it gets cold. You in that motherfucker? Like, oh.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, yo? It's the Danny Brown Show coming to y'all live from YMA Studios here in Austin, Texas. I got the Booth Boys with me. How y'all doing, fellas?
Yo, great, Danny.
We got
Danny.
The original Booth Boys.
Yeah, that's right. How you been, man? I'll tell you what y'all been up to, man.
Oh, we chilling, man.
Thanks for
chilling.
Once again, man, we got another YMH partner up in the house, man. We got motherfucking the Roach. We got Josh Powder, man. How the fuck you
What's
doing, man?
What's up, dude? Oh, my God. We got any out of the front office to come down here and,
you know,
be the original Booth Boy again?
Yeah,
that's
any
great.
Hold it down. Any be holding it down, man.
Because I'm here.
He's talking about you.
I mean, you, man. You the original Booth Boy.
Oh, me? Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. Me, that's true. Yeah.
How you been doing, man?
Good, dude. No, I mean, I didn't forget. I mean, man, the booth has changed. It is, it's like Star Trek in there now.
Yeah.
When we were in was not like that.
Hell yeah. So you got Behind the Jeans coming, man.
That's right, baby. Behind the Jeans, a new show.
Yes, man.
Yeah, if you are, you know, the channel members have existed for so long, and they've been getting ad-free shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now, they get a whole new show.
Oh, shit, man.
And so they get to watch it live with me, and they can interact with me. And then everybody else gets to watch it afterwards.
That's fucking dope.
Hell yeah,
man.
Dude. And it's Behind the Jeans, so it's like, you know, like you ever see a show like Talk Soup or like Stern had his wrap-up show. That's what we're going to be doing with all the shows on the Your Mom's House channel.
That's fire.
Hell,
man.
Yeah, dude, including yours.
Hell yeah, man. That's right.
That's right. We like one thing I was obsessed with already, you were talking with Matt McCusker about the cults.
Yeah.
The cult leaders.
Yeah.
That turned to musicians. My favorite's David Koresh. You ever hear about
that? Yeah, the fucking Texas
That
shit.
Guy just basically would do like, you know, covers of 80s songs and just get laid. Then he's like, you know what? I like the getting laid part, but I kind of blow as a musician.
Fucking so David Koresh, man. Yeah, I think that's what happened. All of them are like failed musicians, man. And they used to be like, you know what? Fuck it, man. I'd rather just have fans.
Yeah, right? That's, being a musician is kind of like having a cult without the, like, you know, brainwashing and all that shit.
Fucking
right?
Waco, Texas, man. That shit, I remember when that shit happened. You know,
yeah.
I was a kid, but I remember on the news and shit and how long that shit. His music is online? Are you on streaming services?
Yeah, dude. No, he's got one out there. It's called, what the hell is it called? Oh my God, they just remastered it here in Texas University. As
he has a
fact.
Song called Madman and
Mad
Waco.
Madman and Waco. He wrote this one after the cult because he started feeling. Before that, he was just doing covers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd be like, you know, singing Cars songs or some shit. And then he had the Madman in Waco song. That song rips at like 40 seconds, dude. It's like, it doesn't sound like we would think. You know, you think it'd be like some folksy song. It's like some new agey shit.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Hilarious.
He's a fucking psycho, man.
Yeah, dude. But it's so funny. That's the only cult that like people think that they were righteous in their death, you know?
He thought he was God or some shit, didn't he?
For sure.
That's how all
He was doing all the cult shit, but then the government was like, you know what? We're going to go burn him down. And everyone's like, hey, you can't do that.
Yeah, because that was like,
he
was like
it made him look
shit.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
There been so many, I feel like it was so many movies or like documentaries. I've never really seen a good one.
Oh, dude, you got to watch the one on Paramount Plus with the dude from Friday Night Lights. What the hell's his name? He played Tim Riggins on Friday
Taylor
Night Lights.
Kish or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Taylor Kish. Yeah. He was great as David Koresh.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out because I do have a fucking Paramount Plus subscription, and I don't even watch shit on there, man. I got it to fucking is it Twin Peaks that's on there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got it to watch Twin Peaks and watched a few episodes and tapped out.
I got it just for the David Koresh thing. Yeah, I got it for the David Koresh thing, and then one day I go, I'm still paying for Paramount Plus? Oh my Lord, I gotta go check
out. That's the thing that they get you with, man. You get all these fucking, you know, you get all these fucking subscriptions. And I don't even really watch Netflix like that like I used to, man. I think HBO Max has been my go-through.
We're just too scattered now.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'd be like, man, you know,
How the fuck I'm paying fucking $200 a month in subscriptions for shit I don't even watch? You know?
Remember when you'd watch like cable or whatever, and you're just scrolling through and get to like TNT or like A&E, and you're like, I guess I'll watch Fried Green Tomatoes or whatever it was on. Now I like see them come up on my queue here, and I'm just like, oh, I'd watch that if that was just on.
Yeah,
but I'm not picking it.
That's the craziest part about it. Like you had to watch what was on type shit. Now we have the ability to watch fucking whatever the fuck we want, and I still find myself going on Netflix and like scrolling for like 20 minutes before I find. And sometimes I just give up, like fuck it, I ain't watching.
Exactly,
shit.
It's shrinking my horizon.
Yeah,
because like, there's things I would have watched on accident that I go like. Oh, I've seen 10 Sandra Bullock movies, you know what I mean?
I swear, that's the craziest shit. I mean, I really do love the gaming subscriptions because a lot of times, you know, you just have to fucking buy that shit. And you'd be like, oh, I don't like this shit, man.
Right.
You just end up spending $60, $70 on a fucking game that you don't even care about. Now you can just kind of test it out and feel like, you know, if I want to buy it, I can buy it. Because I didn't, but that was the fucked up part for me. I didn't know that these gaming subscriptions, like you can get the game and you download it. But when they take it off the fucking platform, they're just taking off your shit too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so you end up still having to buy it. I didn't know that was a thing.
It made me sad that they took away physical media from like Best Buy and stuff.
It's happening more and fucking more, man. Because
I want the game. Like when Josh Allen was on the cover of Madden last year, I had to go find that shit. Like,
yeah.
I want the Josh Allen Madden cover. And I can't just I don't want the graphic on the fucking screen. You
but
know
the fucked
I mean?
Up part about
thing.
That is, even with the gaming and shit, it's like it's a lot of games that they just disappearing from Steam. Like you could have bought
that
shit.
Oh, fucked up.
And then
they
could just take it away. Then now you don't even got it no more.
Yeah,
so,
that's crazy.
Like when you had the hard copy, the physicals, you had it for the rest of your life if you wanted to. But now it's like, you know, you buy something online or something and you think you got it on your computer forever. Then it's just,
that's fucked up. They should change that. Steam, you hear me? What the fuck are you doing?
My Steam, I did the biggest mistake, and Any was shaking his head when I said that shit too. Gave out my Steam.
Oh no!
Mistake. Yeah, I gave out my Steam ID, man. I got a YMH fan on there every day. He just sends me random YMH like, touch me through the fence. He'll just send me one message a day of just some random YMH quote, piss on me, beat me. I'll be like, okay, man. I mean, he's dedicated to the bit at this point, so, you know, I respect it, you know? But every time I go on my Steam, I got like 4 or 5 messages
from
his ass, man.
That's funny.
How you even block this man yet? He give you like free games and shit? Like, I mean, I can't block that.
I like seeing it. I think it's, you know.
He's not doing anything.
Yeah,
he's just, you know, quoting RPC or whatever. And
he's persistent. So it's like, you know, I want to, maybe this is a part of his day now. I don't want him to fuck up his flow or nothing like that, man. You know, he might wake up, get some breakfast, send Danny a YMH message, you know. That's like a part of his shit. We've been doing it for like a year now, so I'm like, all right, let him rock, you know.
I used to get people that would send me messages on my gamer tag, like they'd see my gamer tag on Twitch or whatever, and they'd send me a message, and it would be like, do you want to report this message? Because it would be like, piss on me, beat me, and it's like, I go, no, that's love.
I didn't know that Steam capped they how many followers you can have, though. So my shit is capped out now. I'm like 7,500 or something like that. And I can't even add no new friends. I got to go through it.
Damn.
If you ain't been online in like a month or something like shit, I delete your ass and then try to add new people. But
that's like old school Facebook where they cap you at 5
Yeah,
grand.
They cap you. Yeah, they cap you on Steam. I didn't know that was a thing, though. But I mean, shout out.
If you change your username, like would that, like can you transfer games to like another username if you made another one?
I don't know. I don't know.
That could be
but I ain't tripping on it. It's all good, I mean, man. I've definitely got some cool games, man. People have sent me some good games and shit, so I'm not hating on it,
hell
man.
Yeah.
I ain't giving out my Xbox, though. I did say I did want some more Xbox friends.
Yeah, that's
but,
the thing. That's where my gamer tag is out there.
Because that's the thing. Xbox, I got it on my phone, everything. Like, motherfucker be hitting me up. You'll see the messages and shit. I ain't got time for
that,
man.
That's your Microsoft stuff.
Yeah. I ain't got time for that shit, man.
What do you play on Xbox?
I've been playing Persona 3. But I wanted to get some friends on Baldur's Gate to help carry me through because I haven't been having a good time with Baldur's Gate. And I know it's an amazing game, man, but it's so fucking hard. I keep getting killed by owlbears. But
what the hell is all that?
Yeah. It's gnarly. I will say that. All right, we're jumping to some of these Ask Dannys. You can always hit me up at Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. First up, we got Jess, a widow guy.
Ask Danny.
Hi, Danny. Eric here. I love you and the booth, boys. No one knows this about me, but I'm almost 30 and still haven't popped my cherry. I'm 5'8" and I got a small dick.
Aw.
It's 4 inches. I hate that there's nothing I can do about it. It's something you can do about it. It's on my mind 24/7. As a result, I have severe social anxiety and depression. I get suicidal sometimes. I have a great job. I'm good looking, smart, and I have zero confidence because I'm terrified that if I get intimate with a girl, she'd laugh at me and tell all her friends. Is there any hope for me? Or should I just give up completely? is my only chance just to get rich and get gold diggers or buy hookers. Shouts out to Eric. I mean, some bitches don't like them long dome silvers, man.
Dude, I got to tell Eric, dude, I just had a conversation with a woman in the industry of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
She told me she has like multiple smoke show friends who are like into micro dicks.
Yeah.
Into it.
Some bitches don't
looking for them. So what I say to him, brag about your small dick.
Hell yeah.
Be like, my dick's 4 inches. Just own it. You're a good looking guy. You have a good job. You own your 4-inch dick, dude. You're going to get laid from it. And turns out they don't really give a shit either sometimes.
I will say you just got to look at the positives in it. If you got a small dick, all head is good head. So you just got to look at it like that, man.
That's so funny. You know, all head is good head.
Yeah, when you got a small dick, everybody throating that motherfucker. So
sometimes they're relieved when they see it. They're like, I could gag on that.
I can
know
do
what
that.
I mean?
Yeah. Hey, nothing. You know, you pull out that monster, they're like, oh, shit, man, it's trouble. So you got to look at it like that, man.
All head is good head.
Yeah, with a 4-incher.
Yeah, you could get any Sally down the road could just be down there.
She's going to show out.
Yeah,
she's
hell
like,
yeah.
Oh, shit, it's my time to shine.
It'll be
you
exciting
know?
For her. Yeah. She'll get to feel like she's
like,
one of
watch
the,
this.
The girls from the films.
Yeah, she's like, watch what I do on this motherfucker. Watch what I do with this motherfucker, you know?
And 4 inches is not even that. I mean, unless you're talking like 4 inches, like rock solid. Like, you're not even like, 4 inches is fine, dude. They probably won't even notice.
Yeah, you just gotta, I mean, I would say, for, I mean, they do have surgeries and shit if you're feeling that bad, you know?
Also, that's a dick that is prime for anal.
Yeah.
That's like where
that's
girls see that, they go, that is like, now it's not exactly a compliment, but I've also been told it goes, I'd like your dick's good for the ass. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't say that to me. That's not exactly a nice.
So that's true though.
Yes, exactly. But no, you're right.
So you're getting good head and you're getting booty. So
exactly.
I would say own it.
Having a massive dick is a prism.
Yeah, it is. It,
right?
It's not.
We know.
Yeah, you know, it's not really, it's not all it's cracked up to be, man, you know? You can't have a dick too big where a bitch be like, I ain't fucking with that. I ain't about to do that. You know, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, or you she's know? Like, psyching herself up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, that ain't, you don't want that, man. All right, next up, we got hurting for a squirting. I've been with my boyfriend for 10 years. We have a great relationship. Every once in a while, he gets determined to make me squirt. The problem is, I don't ever relax enough to squirt. However, I have to admit that I've made myself squirt only further. Only to further believe that it's only pee, and for that reason, I don't feel comfortable doing it with him. Also, if it were to happen, I don't see how I would be able to continue having sex with him at that time, knowing that there is a mess around us. I would more so feel the urge to clean it up, and it would kill the vibe. I would talk to him. We've talked about it, and some he's understanding, but I feel kind of bad. My question is this something guys like to experience at least once? How much would a guy care if it's pee or not? Am I holding out? What's your take? Keep them high and tight. Thank you, Eve. I mean, some motherfuckers like getting pissed on.
Sure do. Some of them.
It could be fun. You know, that could be fun, you know. But, yeah, squirting is, I mean, it is great. It looks amazing.
I think we should put to bed this debate, whether it's pee or not. Like, who cares?
Yeah,
let's stop
mean,
discussing
it
whether
matter.
Or not it's pee. And here's the thing. I'm adverse to pee. It's one of my least favorite bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm. What's
and,
your favorite?
You know, if I were to rank them at the bottom, though, it'd be like probably like shit, pee, blood, spit. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
if we're going
yeah,
from worst
okay.
to best. And when I have experienced squirt, I wasn't like, this is pee and been grossed out, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it didn't seem like pee to me.
No,
it seemed like
a great.
Different animal.
It's
I liked
it's
it. Yeah,
good time.
Exactly.
It's a good time.
So I'm saying I wouldn't worry about it being pee or whatever. And, you know, if you don't want to do cleanup or whatever, lay some towels down. Make it a special squirt night. Squirt Saturday.
Yeah, yeah
you
but
know?
I have been the victim of a massive squirt session. And
oh, no.
You and just... after it, it's just like, you know, you in that bed. You're like on an island. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're in that little corner
I
somewhere.
I saw the
like,
horror in your eyes like you were in the 04 tsunami in Thailand.
Yeah,
there.
Was... it gets cold. You and that motherfucker like, oh. Shaking its shit on the edge
that's
of the bed. So,
funny.
I mean, yeah, we've never.
It's like you're camping and the tent has a hole in it and you're in the rainstorm.
I've destroyed some hotel rooms. I've definitely, did, you know, but it's one of those things, man. You know, it's you know, it's a special occasion. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things. But,
make a squirt Saturday once in a while. Or...
But yeah, you do have to prep. You got to prep, man. Put some garbage bags down or something. You know,
you're lining the bed with plastic.
Yeah, yeah, you got to prep, man. You got to prep for it. All right, man. But it is Pete. All right.
You think so?
I tasted it.
Yeah, but it didn't taste like pee to me.
It's a little salty.
Unless, if that's what pee tastes like, maybe I don't know. Maybe I should try pee then and really get to the bottom of this investigation.
I would think it's pee. All right. But it doesn't matter. You know?
It doesn't. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
All right. Let the man be. Yo, Danny, my husband recently started a new job, and shortly after he started, I noticed his breath started to get really bad. So I asked him what was going on. He explained that they order takeout a lot, and the foods they get have onion and garlic, so that's probably it. I asked him to tone it down because it's really starting to gross me out. He said he would, but he hasn't. What do I do? You're hilarious. Thanks, Carissa. Oh, shout out, Carissa. But, I mean, funky breath is like the worst, man. Mm. That's... A motherfucker talking to you with some stinking ass breath.
Where's this
man.
Context at her job, did she say?
Yeah, she said, you know, his job, they ordering a lot of onion and garlic, you know.
Just take it to HR.
I think all you got to do is just fucking crack on him, you know, talk shit to him, tell him how much his breath fucking stank. Don't kiss him, like, just, you know, he'll change it up. But, I mean, it's...
How close are these people working together where they can smell each other's breath?
She's saying it's her husband after he come home from
work.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay,
after
he
come home from work, you know. They and that motherfucker eating whatever the fuck, and she just coming home with banging ass breath.
Yeah, that's awful.
I thought this was going to take a turn for the worse, and it was going to be more so than his lunch. Like, he's eating some funky monkey on the side or something. But so thank God it's just some onion and garlic. But
it turns out I have a specific cancer that gives me this.
I mean, you just got to make that motherfucker brush his teeth after lunch at work. I would say that's the... the biggest deal, man, because like stinking breath is definitely a turnoff, man.
Yeah,
it's
come home and brush your teeth, pal.
It's not a good look, but yeah, I think for anything, yeah, you just be adamant about that shit and keep talking to him about it, like telling him, like, motherfucker, your breath stank. You know, don't nobody like hearing they got bad hygiene problems.
I wonder if that's a common problem with husbands that come home from work. You know, like in the '50s, they have like Leave It to Beaver, where he's like, "Honey, I'm home," and he gets home and he kisses her. It's like, was she like? Your breath
stinks. Damn, nigga. Your shit banging. What the fuck? You at work eating some nasty shit, man. Like, that shit got to stop. But yeah, you just got to, I would say, if somebody cracked on me enough about how my breath banging, it would make me feel real fucking, I would feel bad. I would feel low, like self-esteem issues and shit. And I'd be coming home with mints and shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just even that. Pack some mints. Make that motherfucker take some shit to work with him, man. Like, don't come home with that funky ass breath, so. But yeah, that's a crazy situation. I will say that. All right.
Next. Yeah, what a prison your marriage must be. No, yeah.
All right. Next up, we got GTA 5 radio host. Hey, Danny, I've been playing a lot of GTA 5 lately and notice you're on the radio as a host/DJ at a station, iFruit Radio. How come you never talk about this? Was doing a voiceover fund. Also, are you in any other video games? Keep up the best podcast in the world. Shout out to Trevor C. It was fun, yeah. They actually, Laszlo, he actually came out to my house when I was still living in Detroit, and my studio, and we recorded a lot for it, and then I actually had the opportunity to have my own character, which is a downloadable part of the game that you can play, and I went out to New York and got to hang out with the Rockstar guys, and so yeah, man, they like family in some sense, man. They always, you know, hit me up and involve me in something. So
yeah, you were an online guy too. Like, there was an online expansion.
Yeah,
I remember during COVID, yeah. And your guy was playable in that too.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it was fun, man. It's I didn't realize how hard it is to do voiceovers in video games. You would think it's just easy because I'm like, you just show up in a booth and just get to talk shit, but it's like acting for the most part because that shit translates into the game
right.
too, man. So
and it's like you were on the radio station too, so mm-hmm. like that's a lot of dialogue. I'd imagine.
Yeah, it kind of fucked me up with playing Grand Theft Auto, because every time I would play it, I would just fucking hear myself, man, and it would just weird me out. But
just got to go on the rock station.
But it
all.
Was one of those things where I really feel grateful for that opportunity, man, because Grand Theft Auto, everybody knows, like, one of my favorite games. I grew up playing it, man, even when it was a fucking the top level shit, and you can fucking just run the phone booths and shit. I was playing it ever since then. So being able just to be able, I was a lifeguard too on one of them. Oh yeah, on that one, I was a lifeguard on 5. So. Just for them to include me and have me involved was a grateful opportunity. I know last time I was there, me and Peggy played. That was when I was in my drinking, and they gave us a lot of bottles of 1942. And damn. I got really drunk, and I was a fucking idiot. So I apologize to Rockstar for that. That was
a lot of comments. That's so funny.
I'm always apologizing to motherfuckers for my drunk behavior, but it wasn't a good look. But yeah, man. I love Rockstar. Yeah, there you go, right there.
They used to put a lot of comments on it.
Danny Brown claims he shot people in real life.
Was that the thing you were just talking about? That's so funny.
Yeah, so.
Oh,
you
shit.
Know, just being drunk. But no, they should have known better.
I shot people in real life.
Yeah, because I think I was talking shit. But yeah, playing GTA. But it was fun. It was
That's so funny.
I hopefully they hit me up for six. Hopefully I ain't burnt no bridges, man. So yeah, shout out to Rockstar. I mean, they do send me a little package and shit every few months. I get some cool Rockstar merch or something, man, you know.
That was a dream of mine, because I'd hear comics on the radio too, and like there was also like a bunch of guys that I knew from radio that were in there doing little voice parts for the radio stations. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome.
Yeah, I would love to be involved in Six any kind of way. So yeah, hopefully. But yeah, I always, because then literally when you first start the game, I'm the first voice you hear.
Yeah,
like on a new one, my song with Action Bronson. And every time I would just start it up and then I'd play it, it'd be like an emotional thing. I'd be like, and I could never really play
crazy,
it. I still haven't beat this Grand Theft Auto.
It had such a resurgence during COVID.
Yeah, because the online shit and people doing the role playing and shit, which is great, man. For a game to have been out, that shit came out, I mean, it's been over 5 years, man.
Oh, well, and over, it's still almost fucking a decade, I think.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And it's still fucking figure out a way to make itself new, man. So
they kept upgrading it too. Like I said, during COVID, they were like, well, we know we're not putting out the new one anytime soon. So they would like actually update the new one or the old one.
Yeah. And always adding new downloadable content and more playable shit that you can do, man. But yeah, it's one of those. And I've beaten every Grand Theft Auto except this one. And it's only because I was involved in it so much. And it's just like, man. But it's an amazing game, of course.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's still fucking amazing. I will say, though, I wish they would fucking make another Bully.
That game was nuts.
I love Bully, man. That was fun, dude. That was my shit. Just walk around school beating the shit out of motherfuckers. You had that slingshot. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they could make a new Bully in this day and age.
I wanted to be the guy that fought the bully. You know what I mean? I wanted to stick up, like the bully's like the bad guy, and then I go around and I'm the nerd that has to like stand up for myself or hide.
The crazy shit about Bully is that when it first came out, everybody was fucking like, all these like news people was trying to like cancel it and shit.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
Like, this shit is starting school shooters or some shit. It's like, dog, no. If you think about the games we got now, like, what the fuck? This shit was fucking so wholesome.
If they did make a game called School Shooter, this would be the prequel to it. You know what I mean? It would be like the origin story of the school shooter.
Bully was great, man. I really love you. It was a good game, man.
Maybe that's Bully too. You get to rise up against the bully.
But I feel like everything Rockstar do, because like even Red Dead is like, I was able to be able to get Red Dead early, kind of, and they sent it to me, and I remember just playing that shit. I'm like, this is like next level. I wish Red Dead.
It was cool, but you know what I hated about Red Dead is you had to ride a horse or walk everywhere.
Yeah, it was slow.
It was slow. It's like, can I get a better horse at least? Like in GTA, you start with a shit car, but you can
upgrade.
Buy a new one. I was like, can I get a racehorse or something here? Because this guy is slow as hell.
I just wish Red Dead Online was just as good as like GTA's. Like,
yes.
I would rather be walking around playing cowboys and Indians.
Yes, that'd be fun.
Because every time I
like
used to
some
try
West
to play
World shit.
Every time I used to play GTA Online, it's like you get killed by an 11-year-old motherfucker just laughing at you in your fucking headset, and you're like, man, damn, I'm just out here trying to do my missions and shit. I ain't even out here trying to fucking fraternize with all you other players, man. I'm just trying to do what I got to do on here, man.
Yeah, I just go on just to drive sometimes. I'd be like, I just want to go out and do something. You know, during COVID, during the lockdown, I would just want to go drive and listen to the radio, and then people would just rock it along.
Oh, yeah, that would be crazy. All right, we'll jump into some of these music questions, man.
Hell yeah.
Josh, you're a music guy, right?
Sure.
All right, so what are your top five favorite artists or bands?
Oh, my top five? I'm going to go Nirvana, Brand New. I got to go with Butt Rock one, Stained.
Butt Rock.
Hell yeah, dude. Always. Top five, who am I missing? This band Waxwing for sure. Rocky Volatalo's band. And then... let's see what else. I'll rep the band I'm wearing right now. Every Time I Die, Buffalo-based, Buffalo born.
Shout out.
But shout out to Every Time I Die. Shout out to the Buckley Brothers.
So you're a big rock guy, man.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
All right.
I used to work on a radio station where we played all the like the butt rock stuff, you know. And I unironically still love it.
Butt rock is like a crazy name for a genre, yeah, band. Yeah, I swear, man. Like butt rock. Like, what is this about, you know?
I used to call it garage rock, like shop rock, like guys like that are just working, like changing oil.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Listen to it.
I mean, I know what butt rock is.
Yeah.
Have my fair share of, I follow a lot of like rock music channels on YouTube and shit.
Oh, cool.
And where they just, you know, talk about bands or like the drama that's going around in the community. Oh, sure. And shit like that.
Talk about so. Trapped.
Yeah. So I always kind of stay in tune with them. Not saying I listen to everything that they talk about, but sure. I just follow like a lot of music channels. So I'm always in tune with what's going on with rock, you know?
Nice.
Who are some newer bands you fucking with?
Dude, I have a hard time. I guess I'm just getting older, whatever, but like I used to like work in and listen to the radio so much, and now it seems like I don't get exposed to new music as much or as often because I don't have that like way to consume media. I guess people are like using TikTok to find songs and stuff now. Mm-hmm. I honestly do not go on TikTok.
Yeah.
I've stopped myself from doing it. I don't need another thing to doom scroll. So I've been like thinking about that lately because I'm just listening to the same old shit over and over.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do I find music now?
I found, because it is dope that now anything that you like, you can possibly find something out there for it, but you just got to do the homework and fucking
yes.
seek it out. And you know, so for me, it's I follow a lot of people I feel like our tastes are in line on Twitter and stuff like that.
I see.
So when they like mention an album or something, or you seeing them post about some band or something, I check it out.
Yeah, that's the shitty thing too. Like all my friends are like married and have kids now. Like my buddy Chris used to be the guy that would like slip me a CD or mm-hmm. like be like, oh, have you heard of this band? And then I'd go like find them or whatever.
The coolest thing for me, it has actually been how the Spotify algorithm works.
That's true. I always find though, like sure, I'll find a new band or something, but they're not new. It's something that I missed in the same timeline yeah. as what I put in as like, give me a radio station based off this, you know what I mean? So then they give me like stuff I go, oh, I never heard of this one. And then I'll look them up and it's like their debut album in 2003.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I must have missed this one.
Because like if I like listen to an album or something and then like once the last song go off, it just automatically plays something that's kind of like that. And then I found a lot of dope music just from that.
Nice.
I swear, I've been like, oh, shit, what's this? Then you check it out, listen to they shit. So I found a lot of dope music just from the Spotify algorithm. Like, so that's been fucking great, man. So what album can you listen to front to back?
Oh, from front to back. Let's
no
see.
Skips. No
oh,
skips.
Brand New's The God and Devil Are Raging Inside Me is like sincerely like that album I can do. I will never skip. And it's one of the few albums that because of Spotify and like listening to things from Napster and like digitally, it's the one album I could like go through and know the order of the songs still. Do you know what I mean? From front to back, like
I can't say I ever heard of this.
It's a emo band from I mean, they kind of just came up with me. Their debut album was when I was a junior in high school. And then they put out this album when I was, like, in college. And they just kind of, like, progressed with me in terms of, like,
yeah.
The evolution of the sound that they put out. But, like, you know, then you find out, I mean, Jesse Lacey got a little Me Too'd there for a second. And they don't really do much anymore. But they're one of my top bands of all time.
I think I'm going to have to check this out on my ride home today.
All right.
The album cover looks fucking dope.
It is, dude.
Yeah.
It's just, it's screamo music for the most part. I mean, but it is just like where I was 2006, I was 20. I was like, I broke up with my high school girlfriend. It was just like, it hit.
Yeah, that would do it every time.
Yeah.
That would do it every time. Mine's was Korn.
Korn. I love Korn too. Don't get me wrong. Trust me.
That was my high school breakup. That was my high school breakup.
Which album was the high school breakup?
It was the one, Follow the Leader.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice rage album.
Mm-hmm. But my favorite Korn album is actually Issues.
Issues is my favorite
too.
Yeah,
that's the one I was, because that happened like, I think I got up on Follow the Leader a little late and then.
I forget what album has like Hating and, it's the one with like the static on it. That one was. Also my second favorite. It's kind of a newer one. I think it was 2004 it came out. I can't remember the name of the album. The song
Untouchables?
Hating was on it. Untouchables,
yeah,
yes.
I had that one too. Yeah, I think that's when I was starting to transition a little bit out of that phase. But I did remember buying that album. I had that album.
I remember seeing kids, like, when I was in middle school or whatever, kids would have Korn shirts on. I was like, that's scary. And then I was like, I have to know what this is. And I listened to it, and it, like, changed me.
Mm-hmm. Korn, yeah. They had the dopest videos.
Yes.
That's what got me. I remember seeing Got the Life, and I was like, what?
Yes.
This shit is fucking
the one with
dope.
The bullet going through all the thing, too. Like, just the bullet
mm-hmm.
follows you around.
Yeah.
Goes around the earth every
all
time.
Their videos was fucking dope, man. But, yeah, I can sing fucking Issues front to back, man. So.
Do you ever see the Woodstock documentary where, like, the Woodstock 99 one where they
when
played.
When Limp Bizkit fucked everything up?
Yeah, well, Limp Bizkit fucked everything up, but Korn.
They bodied that
they
shit.
They fucking rot. Like, that, I wish I was there just for that set alone. That was fucking bananas.
And Korn was an easy band for me to transition into from just a person that just listened to nothing but rap, because they always had those hip-hop influences in their shit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, that's what kind of introduced me to be able to start listening to rock. And then from there.
Yeah, it was around the rap rock phase, mm-hmm. I guess you could call it, right? Like that late 90s, like they were kind of lumped into that, even though I think they were like so much more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they were because like they had Ice Cube on that album. And
yeah, yeah.
It was just, you know, and then some of the, and then the way they breakdowns were almost like hip hop shit. They would have like these crazy like breakdowns, man. And it just be, and you know, Fieldy, the way he played that bass, man, yes. It was always ill. So. I think it was just an easy trend. Now I'm fucking full-fledged. I listen to some crazy shit now. Hell yeah. So. But I did go back and had a Sabbath phase and all that kind of shit. So I did my homework. You
know? You start going retroactive for sure. Yeah, I just like, as I had gotten into my mid to late 30s here, I've been having a hard time. Like, and also, like, is rock music still, I'm sure it's still out. Like, that's a ignorant thing to be like, is it still happening? But I feel like it's not like, I can't pinpoint like a new band that's come out recently that's just kind of like blown things up. Yeah. That's just like straight up a band, you know?
I feel like it's like genre bending, because you got a lot of people that they will have like a rock song
right
on their album, but that's not really their whole deal. But
exactly.
I mean, I've been into like Frost Children and like Jane Remover, who kind of got like a lot of rock influences in their shit, but they don't necessarily come from that genre, you know?
Right.
But they more and more experimenting with it, and shit's fucking dope, man.
Yeah, I've been going very like metalcore lately.
Oh shit.
So if there's a lot of new bands with that shit for sure, but I can't it's all kind of just in there.
So what was your first concert?
My first concert was Family Values Tour 2001.
Oh, shit.
Oh my god, it was the best lineup. Still my favorite bands. Three of them have passed away, three lead singers so far. It was Deadzy, which was Cher and Greg Allman's kid, P. Exeter Blue. That's his band.
Oh, shit.
It's like their kid's band. And they were like synthy and cool. And then it was Static X. Wayne Static has passed. Linkin Park, Chester, R.I.P. Stained, still going. Shout out Stained, they're still rocking. And Stone Temple Pilots.
Family Values Tour. I remember seeing that shit. That shit was fucking crazy. They had Korn one time.
Well, Korn was the start of the Family Values. It was like their Ozfest, but 2001 was the first year they didn't play.
Yeah.
They got Stone Temple Pilots.
Damn,
come
man. Family Values to start it off with. That's
hell
fucking
yeah,
crazy.
Dude, it was
man.
The best. I was 15 or something like that.
In Buffalo?
Yeah. The Key Bank Center. But back then it was the HSBC Arena.
What was that crowd like back then? Was it like fucking wild? Like,
My dad took me and my buddy. So it's like my dad was there. I mean, it was like, you know, mosh pits. Like, it was like any crowd like that. Like, I used to go after that. I mean, that was 2001. Between that and like 2005, I was going to all of them, like Ozfest, everything. And it's like, you know, mosh pits and shit like that. Drunk, like bearded dudes, white guys. But like, everybody's real nice. Like, it's still Buffalo, you know, people sure they travel from other places, but Buffalo's real nice. And like, you get in a mosh pit, people pick you up or whatever. The one thing that was like crazy, like 2004 Ozfest, Chevelle was playing. And it was raining and people started throwing mud at Chevelle on stage.
Shit.
And they got pissed and they just left.
Yeah,
it was
definitely.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a day off.
But I don't know why that started or why people started throwing mud, but once they said it was bothering them, that made the crowd do it more.
Yeah. Motherfuckers be drunk.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what that
yeah,
shit
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
That was just some straight up drunk shit.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
saying? So what song you want played at your funeral?
Oh shit.
Some dark metal shit?
Maybe. It would probably be something off that brand new album that I showed you. DeGosser probably would be the song if I had to pick one out of there.
I always feel like this is a super dark question every time.
It is. I love it. I wish that's one where I wish I could like have ruminated on a little bit, you know, like you send the pre-interview questions over. Think about that.
Make
one,
yourself
you know?
Cooler.
Yeah, because there's also like, I don't know, there's also a part of me that would just want like a Beach Boys song, like Don't Worry Baby playing or something off like Pet Sounds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would really have to think about that one. So don't, hey, if I die and then when I leave here, don't play DeGosser necessarily.
Yeah, Beach Boys. That's how fucking Manson got started.
Yeah, dude.
He's a fucking
That's
psycho,
right.
Man.
Yeah, he was like, he wasn't even like friends with one of the cool Beach Boys. He was friends with like Denny Wilson, the drummer, the fuck up brother that like
the motherfuckers ripped me off. Yeah, he stole my song.
Meanwhile, Brian Wilson's just like having schizophrenia and has no idea about Charles Manson
tripping on LSD in his pool in the middle of the fucking living room or some shit.
Yeah. They're like, by the way, Brian Wilson is still alive.
Yeah.
And they recently like had to take away his like, you know, like basically what's it called when it's like power of attorney, like they come in, his mental facilities are gone. It's like, haven't they been gone since like 1972? Yeah. Like, how has this guy been going independently for this long?
I feel it's like crazy. Everybody got to have a pet sound space, especially if you're in music. You got to just listen to it and figure out.
And the other guy in there too, Spector. That guy, what's
Phil
his name?
Spector?
Phil Spector. Yeah. Wasn't the whole like Pet Sounds was like Brian Wilson's like fuck you to Phil Spector? Mm-hmm.
Didn't Phil Spector shoot a motherfucker too?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of darkness
around
that.
They
all
went crazy, man. Yeah. And they be talking about gangster rap. These motherfuckers was both gangster. Yeah, Phil Spector. I see this documentary, man. Yeah, he was tripping, man.
But I think the story goes like Brian Wilson saw Phil Spector like making like the wall of sound and was like in awe of him and just wanted to like ask him for some advice. And Phil Spector told him to fuck off, basically. Mm-hmm. And Brian Wilson's like, I'm going to make Pet Sounds. And he was like.
That's usually how it happens. I mean, I will say, man, like that kind of shit breeds creativity. That's what they said, never meet your idols kind of thing, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I feel like you always, anybody that's into music, you just got
to
listen
to fucking. In comedy, I don't think I've had one of those moments where I've met one of my heroes and they've been a real dick. But I can't think of one. I've met some real dicks, don't get me wrong, but never one that I was like someone I had a lofty expectation for, you know?
I feel like I met all my like idols as rappers and shit, and they were all pretty nice to me. They were, I mean, they were pretty looking at me like this, I was a fucking weirdo, but it was always good experiences. I can't say I had a bad experience in it, but I feel like people meet me, they'd be like, oh, it wasn't too good.
That's not true, dude. You're the man, dude.
But yeah, man. All right, so. So what'd you listen to growing up? I guess you pretty much said it.
Yeah, all that stuff. I mean, I want to say like, I mean, I remember the first, I mean, I was listening to just whatever was on the radio too. Like I love the radio. I listen more for like the DJs and like stuff like that, but whatever music they played, then I would know. And then I would like learn about like how often they played them and like, why are they playing it? You know, I'd like look at the chart and like track it then. Basically.
Okay,
like,
damn.
Yeah, I was.
You
like,
was the algorithm,
dude. That's the thing. There was a job for a guy. His name was the program director, who basically had to create his own style of algorithm to like pace out songs so that it was optimum listening.
Yeah,
that was cool. Was
so
like
what was the first album you bought like with your own money kind of shit? Like?
I did actually. It was a Beach Boys cassette tape, but then the first CD I bought was Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill.
You ought to know.
Yeah, because it said, when you fuck her, and I wanted to like crank that in fourth grade, you know what I mean?
Alanis Morissette is dope,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. And then I bought, I got real into like Limp Bizkit, chocolate-colored starfish, listen to that in my mom's Astro van. When I was a kid, though, that was the shit. Like,
I hated that fucking album.
Dude,
man.
When I was a kid, that album, I was 13. I was like, of course, I bought the fucking hat. I was in my mom's car. She would drive us to something, and I'd be like, it's 38 fucks in this fucking song. You know, like it would be.
The Limp Bizkit album before that, I liked that one. And then I always liked
$2 Bill, y'all.
Yeah, and I always liked when him and he would get like when him and Korn did shit. Like I always loved those songs. But
some of the deep cuts, because
I was
Chocolate
fucking
Starfish are good.
I was fucking geeked for that album to come out because they had the fucking the song with Method Man off the premiere off the premiere beat. I was like, oh shit, this shit is gonna be dope, you know. And I think I probably did like it, and it is probably now that it gets so much hate now at this point.
They have the Roland the Urban Assault Vehicle mix with Snoop Dogg, I think, is on there, or a couple other people. But I forget who's on that one, but that album was just huge for my. Like where I was in that moment in time, for sure. Just like I said, listening to it in my mom's car, the irony of it. My mom would just let us, and I'd be like, "Yeah, mom, fuck you," you know, like that guy. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
no, that's how it was with me. I had my grandma was Filipino, so she didn't understand half the shit the motherfuckers were saying anyway. And I used to be listening to some of the craziest fucking music you could possibly. I was listening to Devin the Dude and shit, driving around my grandma going to school and shit.
Oh, so, my mom will be like, can we turn the fucks down a little bit?
Yeah. Limp Bizkit's still out here doing some shit though, man. I've seen him not too long.
Dude, I want to talk to Fred Durst in the worst way. It's one of my
goals. I think he was doing some jazz shit one point in time.
That's the thing. It's like, the guy's like what, 50 something now? Is he gonna go up there and wear the backwards hat and fucking do it? I mean, I'd hope so, but at the same time, I get if he wants to do something new.
Have you ever been a wrestling fan?
Yes. Back when I was a kid, for sure.
Yeah. I only asked that because I've been fucking going down this Vince McMahon rabbit hole.
Dude.
It's fucking gnarly.
Oh, my God. The Attitude Era was crazy.
No, I'm talking about him.
He said all the slurs.
His sexual assault.
Oh, you're talking about
shit.
The new things? Yeah, where he's like, John Laurinaitis.
Dog, did you see the text messages? That shit is fucking bizarre,
well, I haven't
man.
Seen the text messages.
Oh, you
I just
have
know
to
that
see
he,
this shit.
Basically, the anecdote I heard was he had a girl keep blowing John Laurinaitis after shitting onto her head.
You have to read these text messages after this other way. He's Let's, a fucking
Oh, yeah,
deviant,
I would love
man.
To read them. Like
He's
Vince
like,
McMahon.
I want to see you take five black cocks. I could just every
five
every time I read it, I got to hear it in his voice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
He took a shit on her head.
I know. And then he goes, now you'll keep having oral sex with John Laurinaitis.
Doug. The texts are deranged,
Poor
man.
John Laurinaitis. Can you imagine being in that guy's position? He's like, hey, Vince, I appreciate you getting me some head here, but could you not shit on her head while you're doing it? I mean, that kind of ruins my
boner. Look, he's
using
emojis and everything, man. Like, he's fucking nasty. I can't see it. I wish I could read it.
Dog.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's you, Janelle. You just can't get enough, can you?
Can you?
And the future is going to be so bad.
Oh, my God.
And you'll
so
demand
long,
to be fucked
dude.
Twice a day.
What? Does it have a date on there, like 2021?
Hey, that's just what look, they break today in a three-way. Why not let others see the beautiful, voluptuous body and watch you shake uncontrollably when you squirt emoji?
When you squirt, you're going to squirt. You ever see that thing with the old documentary where the guy, what was
Look,
it called?
Here
Puke?
You go. You need your panties ripped off in three black dicks and all three holes at the same time. Way up your pussy and way up your ass. Far as they will even go further. And the thickest cock goes down your throat. It'll make you gag and convulse as those big black cocks pound away. It feels like the start of you being assaulted. It's going to make you squirt nonstop.
You're going to squirt.
Just one continuous constant orgasm. And you'll just before you pass out, those big black dicks squirt their loads of cum inside you.
Big black dicks.
As you lay on your stomach, the dick squirt coming out of all your holes. I'll turn you over and jack off all over you. He's
all
a fucking
you.
Degenerate.
I'm a cock. I'm a huge cock.
Vince McMahon is a nasty motherfucker, man. He deserves anything that's
oh
coming to
God.
Him.
Oh, my God. Do you ever see that documentary where the guy, he was the guy, I forget what his name was, but he came in and his, like, special talent was, like, yeah, I'm a wrestler, but also I can puke on command. And so he was like, you're going to be... puke. Ladies and gentlemen, it's puke. And it's just him, Vince McMahon, being like, you're going to puke. Oh, he's puking. Just picture him here.
And Vince McMahon got to be like 70 or
oh,
some
yeah.
shit.
Oh, yeah. Like,
man.
You're going to squirt.
He's old as hell.
Squirt all over.
What the fuck is wrong with it? The emojis is what's killing me.
His
man.
Voice changed, too, over the years. Like, you know, that Attitude Era Vince was like, you're fire.
But 78. Back at,
remember when he was on the broadcast though, and everyone just thought he was an announcer,
mm-hmm.
and he would just be like The Undertaker, you know, he would talk like that as opposed to like the fucking Vince McMahon we know today. Yeah, 78. I mean, he was old when I was a fucking
kid.
Yeah, I
know. They're saying he's 35 in 1980 before I was born. This nigga Vince McMahon is an old motherfucker.
He did it right though.
Freaky nasty shit.
You know, all these older guys are doing TRT or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he was fucking. He was like, I'm 60 and I'm gonna juice.
Yeah.
And he started juicing like. You know, during the Attitude Era, and he looked ripped.
Yeah, no, he was huge, man. Look at him.
And he'd get fucked up and go to the, people say he'd get fucked up and just go to the gym in the middle of the night and just fucking be, yeah, of course he was like, I'm gonna shit on your head.
I can't look at it without thinking about three big black cocks.
Yeah, it's just so funny that he's such a cuck at the end. He's such a, so aggressive about getting cucked. He's like, I'm gonna jerk off while you're getting three black cocks in you. Come squirting everywhere.
God damn it, Vince McMahon. You nasty motherfucker, man.
And The Undertaker from the Nassau Coliseum.
All right, man. We get ready to get out of here, man. This
Those texts
man.
Are nuts.
No, you got to read them, man. Spin the wheel, man.
Hell yeah.
See what the fuck's going on,
Ooh,
man.
The wheel. I'm
telling you, like, for days, like, my whole YouTube algorithm is just nothing about Vince McMahon right now. That's all I've been fucking watching. Every night before bed, I've been fucking watching it. Scooters.
Scooters.
Like, what do you mean? Like, these scooters you can just rent on the street or, like, you know. I remember back in the day it was, like, cool. Like, it was cool to have, like, one of those scooters with, like, you had the fucking big-ass sound systems on it and shit and motherfuckers pulling up playing fucking some crazy new wave and shit. You know what I'm saying? But
I call them dystopian litter because they're just everywhere.
I mean, I feel like they have gone down a hill. You see these scooters, they be looking raggedy as hell on the street now. They used to all look new and clean. Now, I seen, I was just in L.A. recently. I just seen a dude with one leg. He was just had that motherfucker using it as like using like one of his wheelchair thingies. I'm like, damn, this is what the scooters have turned to.
Yeah, the scooters got. I don't even really see them that much anymore because I feel like, you know, hobos were putting them up their ass or doing whatever the hell else.
They said motherfuckers was breaking their dicks.
Oh my god!
Like a lot of dick injuries have raised increasingly.
Dick injuries.
Yeah, because motherfuckers would get drunk and just grab them and then ride them. And then
the only time I ever rode one. It made me realize my age. I was like, what am I trying to be in the X Games? I'm riding this thing around. But I got squirrely on one, and I just put my foot down to stop myself. Mm-hmm. And I fucking cranked my leg hard, dude. And I thought I tore every tendon in my leg.
I never rode one of them motherfuckers. I knew what was up. I'm like, this shit dangerous.
I know. I realized then. I go,
it used to be scary
for
me.
What am I doing?
Because I live downtown. Before I left Detroit, I lived downtown, and like on the weekends, it would just be, you know, a shit ton of kids just riding them everywhere, and they're not even paying attention. You out driving and shit, and the motherfuckers just dart out in front of you. I was like, last thing I want to do is hit a kid on one of these fucking scooters, man. So I always just was scared of them shits, man.
How many drunk drivers end up with one of those limes up in their grill at the end of the night?
Oh, I'm lying. I actually, one of those scooter companies actually gifted me one of those scooters, but it was fast as hell. I went up to damn near 20-something miles an hour.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I would get drunk. I would get drunk and then just ride around my neighborhood out here in fucking Texas and just be riding around. And I fell off that motherfucker. Every time I rode it drunk, I fell off the motherfucker every time, scraped my shit up.
Jesus.
I actually gave it to my girl nephew, man. I can't do it no more.
But I
was worried about giving it to him. I'm like, man, if something happened to him while he riding a scooter, I'm going to feel terrible, man. So
like, I made sure. Wear a helmet.
I got the consent from it. Yeah, I gave him a helmet and everything. I got the consent from his parents. They said it was cool. I was like, all right, don't blame me for shit. You could take this motherfucker, so yeah, he
That's
took
how
it.
Those companies get away with it, too. They tell you, they're like, make sure you wear a helmet. It's like, who's carrying a fucking helmet?
I had a helmet. I definitely was looking goofy as hell. I had, like, one of those ill motorcycle helmets riding that motherfucker, like, some shit I'm supposed to be riding on a Harley on, but I'm riding a fucking scooter.
On a scooter?
Yeah.
That's so funny. That probably looked hard, though. That probably looked good.
Yeah, I'm looking like a badass riding a scooter, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like a biker gang motherfucker, but I'm riding a scooter.
I just saw how cheap they were. I'm like, I'm going to ride this from North Hollywood to Koreatown, and I'm like, I could make it all the way, and it'll cost me $10 or something, and I got squirrely one time, and I was like, nah.
No, they hard. They actually hard to ride, because you got bumps and shit, you know?
It goes so fast, you hit like a little like...
Yeah, and it's a wrap.
Fucked,
it's a fucking wrap.
I saw someone downtown Austin get hit by a bus on one of these.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Just was blowing through like a stop sign, because they don't really like consider the road rules, you know? Just blasted.
But yeah, it seems like the phase of this has ended. It's only...
Yeah, they're kind of on the outs.
It's only homeless motherfuckers commuting on them shits now, so...
Yeah, I mean, in some cities, the homeless people just like... There was... I think it was Sickler telling me in Baltimore that... They were like checking people off of them and then taking them and riding them and then just throwing them in the bay.
But yeah, the scooter phase is over with, man. I wouldn't recommend anybody ride one of them shits, man. Like I said, I ain't seen no new ones on the street in a minute. They all look raggedy and ran through. Motherfucking wheels and shit peeling and all that kind of shit. You get on one of them motherfuckers, you know, you're cruising for a bruising, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I don't understand how they thought that was ever going to be a good idea.
Because people are fucking, you know, they made money off them shits. The motherfuckers that put them down, they all hit licks on
it
them
just
shits.
It's so weird. Like, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd go outside of my building, and I'd go outside, and there'd just be like, I'd have to like dodge scooters that are just thrown about everywhere.
Yeah. But yeah, so fuck those scooters. All right, man. We're getting ready to get up out of here, man. Thank you so much, Josh, for coming through,
dude,
man.
Thanks for having me. Check out Behind the Jeans on March 13th is when it's debuting. Also, the Josh Potter Show every Wednesday comes out. And other than that, I don't know. Should I mention anything else, fellas?
Yeah, whatever you want, man.
I don't know. I didn't know if there was anything about the show I should mention. Just that it's going to be live March 13th. If you're a member of the YMH channel, you get to watch it live. You get to be in the chat. Other than that, it will come out in the following days.
All right. Love y'all motherfuckers, man. Thank you so much again, Josh, for coming through, man. It's always great to see you, man.
Dude, thanks for having me. I love your show so much. Can't wait to do shit and have you on or whatever.
Hell yeah, man. I would love that, man. All right, man. Peace. See y'all motherfuckers. Same time, same channel. Love y'all.
Yeah.